My aunt's little ones are doing a 9-week course. And I mean, I know they're really Olic and stuff, but I just think it's kind of cruel. Because when she says sit, they sit. When she says come, they come. And now, she's teaching them tricks, like party tricks and stuff. I mean, it's exploitation. Come on, I mean, the poor dogs.
The combination meal, inspired by seven colors, is something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everyone. It is a Thursday. I was just thinking we should get Nathan Rowe in here one day. Let him sit and shoot the breeze with us. He's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's really, really funny.
Yeah, he's so wasted in that show with Alan Ford.
I was about to say, when he isn't busy being hijacked by Alan Ford.
Hijacked. Alan Ford just leaves him there to do the show on his own when he's busy, I don't know, lounging around in some resort somewhere.
Or if he's just flaming.
Yeah, he's always flaming.
That's his natural state.
I told you I ran into him in Cape Town, right?
Oh my goodness. So that's a promo for the Unview.
There we go.
I just need to show you this, though.
What's this?
I'm not saying. All I'm saying is he's.
Yeah.
Exactly. Alan called me 2 days ago in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And the phone call conversation was meant to simply be a, hey, Sia, I need X person's number. Sure, Alan, will send it to you. Take your bets. You say what?
7 minutes.
Seven minutes. Okay. Mabalabaloy?
12.
Gareth Cliff?
5, 6.
Because I tell no lies, here is the actual record of how long the phone call lasted.
39 minutes.
Thank
oh
you.
Oh my God.
Wow. What were you talking
what
about?
On earth?
No, what was Alan talking about?
Exactly. I
yeah, Sia
did
had,
not
Sia
put
couldn't
a word
get a word.
He's got a problem. He's got a real problem.
Like, what is going on here?
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
But you know, like, when we take a breath, we inhale, we exhale, vital for life. Alan does that, but while he does it, words come out. I don't think he can
goodness.
Help it.
It's like a ventriloquist.
I heard about everything.
It's like a ventriloquist. He's busy using some other orifice to talk while he's breathing at the same time.
Yay. Heard about his December, who he knows, who he partied with, his love life in Cape Town. I was just like, Alan, I don't need to know all of this. He called me while I was still driving and he was on Bluetooth. And I was like, oh, Alan, I'm driving, thinking that would preoccupy him. And
no,
it didn't. I got home.
Of course it won't.
I changed. I even made myself something to eat. And I was eating in the whole course of the conversation.
Oh, you managed to have a whole meal?
Oh, yeah. I kid you not. And I finished my food as well. I'm like, okay, well, and thanks. Cool. This is great.
Wow.
I wonder if you hung up the phone.
What would happen?
And then let's say you hang up the phone and then if the person calls you back, you say, oh, I'm sorry. I went into one of those like network dip areas. You know, now you've kind of like thrown them off their
rhythm. I'll tell you what would happen
their
with
rhythm,
him.
So maybe they'll think, okay, well, I better wrap it up anyway.
Oh, no. Here's what would happen with him. Is first of all, he would carry on talking. Even if you'd cut him off, he would have carried on talking for like 10 minutes before he realized you weren't there anymore. Because he's not even looking for a response from you most of the time. And then he would have called back and he would have just carried on and picked up exactly where he left off. And you'd be busy for another 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, apologies if you're listening live and it's breakfast time, but can you imagine Alan through pillow talk? Because there would be no subtlety. Mm-hmm. It would just be this long, eventually like, oh, what's
stop,
going on?
Like, oh, stop. Why are we here?
Stop.
Be like Hamlet.
Yeah, enjoyed that earlier.
Hamlet, this non-stop soliloquy. Mm. All right. Hey, how's everybody doing this Thursday morning? First proper working Thursday of 2018. I was talking to someone I had lunch with yesterday. I said, you know what? Those people who are still not back at work by next Monday, we're allowed to hate them. Don't you think?
Mm-mm.
No?
Why do you always want to hate people, Gareth? Why?
Okay, all right, not hate.
Why?
Okay, we don't have, hate's a very strong word. We're allowed to stop taking them seriously. Like, how much does your company really miss you if you're away and it's already more than halfway through January?
We had the exact conversation this time last year. people do different things in life. Yeah. Why are you so judgmental?
You mean people who...
Who hurt you?
You mean...
Show us where
I sound. Am I missing something? Do I sound angry when I ask this?
Every year.
You do.
Ah, oh, these people. Ah, oh, they have these long holidays.
You okay, make I've got to figure out why I sound so different in my head to the way I sound to you. I'm not angry.
You make them sound like they're less than, but they're not.
No.
Yeah.
They're actually more strategic and possibly even smarter.
These are people
who plan their leaves in such a way that they are able to get the entire month of those January
are not
off.
Those are not the ones I'm talking about.
Who are you talking about then?
I'm talking about the ones who went on holiday halfway through December,
mm-hmm.
and they're only going back next week. I want to know, and maybe I am angry about this, because I want to know how they get like a month.
Because they structure and manage their leave. Leave is a serious thing for these people.
All right.
They plan way ahead of time.
Or, Gareth, they work in certain industries that only take, like, the building industry, for example, construction, property, that kind of stuff, mid-December, mid-Jan.
Right.
You want to go back to work, you're a dick.
No, there's no one there.
Basically, you've got no friends and you've got nothing in life if you're back at work.
Okay.
Well, we have one of those people here.
Who?
Aus Jane Malachi.
Jane is coming back today, I think.
I know.
Well, that's what
it says. She went missing early December, huh?
Oh, yeah. She left like mid-December. I mean, the early part of mid.
She was there for some cake early December.
Yeah, it was just around your birthday.
And I was like, where's Jane?
Yeah. So it was like Friday the 18th of December. It's almost a proper month.
Okay, so
folks.
In other words, if I do have a problem with this, I should start cleaning house right here.
I think she's completely forgotten about work. I genuinely do. It's like, what? What is this thing?
Speaking of that, I mean, isn't it amazing how quickly after you get back from a holiday or a little break or whatever that you just get right back into it and your holiday is like a distant memory?
Mm.
Ben sent me this link yesterday that one of the news sites put up about Jeannie D on holiday in Bali.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she blocks me on social media, so...
So now you have to
this
follow
is
her.
How you have to keep up.
I finally got to see what Jeannie D does socially.
Why does she hate you, Ben? I don't know what you did to her. It says
I still think it's a misunderstanding.
5 vacay pics of Jeannie D in Bali. Now, first of all, I've always had a problem... Well, not a problem. I think it's so lazy that... A journalist who works for a publication, and you would have had to get a photographer because you couldn't just, in the old days, you couldn't take someone else's pics. They had their pics on their camera.
Mm.
There was no way for them to share those pics online, and you would have had to send a photographer. I remember I went on holiday with Nicole Fox when we were dating to Mauritius, and they begged if they could send a photographer with us for one of the days of our holiday to take like 2 or 3 pics that they would put in a magazine.
Ooh.
Which they did, and we agreed. And
can you imagine Gareth? Okay, hurry up then.
Yeah, I was miserable about it, but it was in the beginning of my career. What did I know? So it was a whole thing, and we had to do the shoot the one morning, and it was very odd. But it made sense because then you could carry on with your holiday on either side of that. Now, you know, while you're taking pictures of yourself on your holiday, some news network is taking them off the internet and then using them as content for their site to get people to read their articles. I mean, the print that's associated with this, the actual editorial content in the story is like 5 lines. So someone in an office said, oh, well, this will be an easy one. This will get us some clicks. We'll take some Jeannie D pictures off of her Instagram and we'll just say, this is Jeannie D on holiday, on her vacay, which is exactly what they did.
Mm.
But it turns out she went away with like Yanez, who's a friend of hers, and Yanez's girlfriend and Yanez's son. And then David Higgs from Marble. I was at Marble yesterday, the restaurant, you know, and My Kitchen Rules.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, it's all this celebrity holiday. And a very, very cool.
I like
cool
that they're genuinely friends, actually, well, she and Yanez.
Yeah, they are. They get along very well. And I like them both. I mean, you know that. I love to tease them because they're on top billing.
And they've been great guests Yanez on the show here.
They've been terrific guests. I love having them on. But Jeannie took this one picture. It's like titties.
Oh, yes, she's
wearing
Jeannie
this white bikini. I mean, look at those titties. I mean, that is something.
Oh,
by
did
the way,
you see the
Harvey,
other one?
Harvey Weinstein phoned me from the rehab he's at and said he's been jerking off nonstop for the Jeannie D vacay pics.
Oh, no. Okay, Ben.
Non-stop. Wow, what a thing to do.
What a thing. And she says, namaste right here, as the caption. And then there's one of her in front of a waterfall. I got to tell you, whatever she's, whatever her regimen is, her beauty regimen, Jeannie D, she hasn't aged in the last 5 to 10 years. She looks exactly as good as she did 5 to 10 years ago. I defy anybody to tell me she doesn't. And then there's this very cute little picture of her with two coconuts. She's got no top on, so I'm kind of wondering who took the picture.
Oh.
And then she's got these coconuts in front of her breasts, and she says, I got a lovely bunch of coconuts, diddly-dee-dee. Right? That's nice.
You know, there's no one else who could pull such off. Anyone else would look ridiculous.
I'm going to do it on my holiday. Stupid. What are you talking about?
Oprah did it last month.
Oh, sure. Imagine just pausing Oprah Winfrey with coconuts in front of her breasts.
Coconuts, but
stop. No. Class it up,
please. She used Bill Cosby's head and Harvey Weinstein's head.
That would be funny.
There really is a skill to taking
great selfies.
The right Instagram picture, though, that separates all these super attractive girls from the rest of us.
Yeah,
like,
when,
it is quite a skill.
But think, like, you hate Instagram, right? So no matter what you do, you'll never get that shot.
I hate pictures of myself.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
the thing with Jeannie is that she knows what to do because she's been on shoots, she's on TV, she does this kind of stuff for a living. So she'll always know.
And she's also a 10.
Yeah, she's a professional. She's not one of those in inverted. Yeah, she's a 10.
It makes life easier when you are a 10.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference.
Try be me. Pose for the right picture. You look like a douche.
You've got to have the right combination of factors in play.
That's so true.
So they also, the same news site, the Juice, that's on Channel 24, they reported on my interview with Jay Something. Mm-hmm. Having a chat with Gareth Cliff, Mikasa frontman Jay Something reflected on the year that was becoming a father and spoke about his dreams for 2018. Speaking to Gareth Cliff, the star says, even though he had a good year, he's still trying to get back the love he had for music. I had a challenging year, but it was a good year, Mikasa, and music as a whole. It was a weird thing. I'm still adjusting. I'm trying to get back into the love that I had for music because music's become a bit of a job and I don't like that. So it's been very tough at times. I usually won, here's the part that they gleaned from the interview, to keep his private life to himself. Jay also opened up about becoming a father, still being careful not to give too much away. Although also something that I've never mentioned in the world, as well as that I have a lighty, a son. He was my firstborn child. I haven't really spoken about this, he told Gareth, adding, that added to the year 2017. That was. According to the singer, another tough personal moment for him was when his mother suffered a minor heart attack. And looking forward to New Year, he says he has many dreams, blah, blah, blah. Very cool. And then they give a link to listen to the interview. So thank you, The Juice. Always clean. It's so nice when they give a bit of credit, then I can give credit back again. And I appreciate you guys giving the link to our interview. You know, Vusi Tembekwayo, the interview we'll be playing today, right, Sia?
Yes.
You got to listen to this. I said it yesterday. Please don't miss it. It's going to be so much of fun. I mean, from an intellectual, philosophical point of view, it's not going to be so much of fun. Like, ooh, we're going to make him play games in the studio. Mm-hmm. Some guests you want to do that stuff with. Some guests you just want to pick their brains. I can't believe it's almost the weekend already.
Ooh.
Huh?
What's that all about? Not complaining. Not complaining at all.
Ben also found something else that was interesting on the internet. He discovered that that Lana Del Rey has been stealing music.
Oh.
That petty thief, Lana Del Rey.
Oh, dear. Another one.
Right. Okay. She stole Radiohead's Creep.
What a creep.
I mean, you know Radiohead's Creep, right? It's one of the. It's a classic song.
Yeah, it's a
so
song
good.
That teenagers listen to while they slam the door in front of their parents.
This is her. No, that's not the song. Hang on, here it is.
That's her.
Well, that's
stealing.
Her.
Oh, that's her. That's her. Okay, sorry. Here, let me start it from the beginning because that's where I recognized it. Finally, when you're in a fog, look you in the eye. Just like an angel.
Ooh.
Skin makes me cry. It's even the same chords. I want you to notice that I'm not around. I wish I was special. Now it goes off slightly, but you can hear she's copied that part. And then here's the original, because I can't sing it as well as these guys can. It's just, you tell me if there isn't some serious plagiarism going on here, because Radiohead are suing her. It's not very different. And listen to the chords, don't listen to the instruments, dummy. When you were here before. Whoa. Right? Couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. God, I love this song. Your skin makes me cry. Songs like this will make me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful. Here it comes. Listen to this, Max. I wish I was special. Da-dang. Da-dang. You're so very special. Go! But I'm a creep. Yeah! That's the way to wake up on a Thursday.
Jeez.
I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? Oh man, alright, so do you reckon it's the same song?
Yeah, so Lana Del Rey is like if you were to copy a G-Shock but call it a B-Shock and it breaks like the next day.
What's a G-Shock?
It's a watch.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's and it's sort of watered down shit impression.
Yeah, hers is so depro.
Is Enya her mom? And she just fell off the rails?
Is she Enya's daughter? She sounds like she could be Enya's daughter.
But now, let's get technical here for a second. Who's to blame in a situation like this? Is it the artist? Is it the producer?
Well, that's a good point because we all realized last year that these artists don't write anything.
And little of them do. And a lot of them, you know, they get sent a beat by a producer and then they're like, hey, I love it. And then they put vocals to it.
And yes, was it yesterday or the day before? Mabale heard a Bruno Mars song. And she said, oh, this Bruno Mars, does he do anything original?
It's called Finesse, ne?
Yeah.
With Cardi B. Well, I mean, it's just a very 90s sound, but that's what Bruno Mars does.
Yeah, very Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Right, so I just pointed out to Mubs that actually most people who are under the age of 35 wouldn't know that sound. They wouldn't be familiar with it. You wouldn't go looking for it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know, like, that sort of, that instrumentation, those kinds of beats. So if you heard it in this Cardi B and Bruno Mars song for the first time, you'd go, wow, that's fantastic. I've never heard that before. Because your music knowledge is so limited. It's like I've heard songs before and thought, wow, that's original. And someone will say to me, no, in the 60s, that was actually like this person's song.
Mm.
You go, shit. You know, like for example, the best example of this is, was it Avicii who did that song? Shit, man. I'm striking
black. Is it like a folky? What sort of genre is it?
It was like, I'll remember it just now. But I did discover something interesting while we were talking about Cardi B yesterday. I actually took a screenshot of this.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what her real name is?
No.
Cheryl.
I don't think I...
Cardi B's real name is Belcalis Almanzar. Sorry, Belcalis Almanzar.
Does not sound as cool as Cardi B, no.
Yeah, I think it was either her parents or her grandparents who like arrived in the States at a much later stage in her life. And then
Belcalis Almanzar. I mean, that sounds like a Harry Potter spell. It's like if you do that enough times, then furniture will start floating around the room or something. Belcalis Almanzar.
I think she's Dominican or something.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like one of those.
What a name though, huh? All right, I got some, I'll put this up on Instagram. I got some pictures of people taking shits and I want you to figure out which one which one is you.
We don't want to figure that
out. Oh, come on.
Excuse me?
No, it's different positions on the toilet and you've got to tell me. No, it's a drawing. It's not actually, actual. It's not
actually people putting a press on.
Yeah, no, here. So which one is you? What position are you in when you take a dump? It's important. This is important. I'll share it on Instagram and you can go and have a look. Yeah, really?
I mean, position four looks like a yoga position. What is happening here?
Look, there's one that I don't... There's one that's not feasible, if you ask me.
What? There's what? One what? Where you have both your feet planted on the toilet seat, and then you are...
Yeah, that's a conventional squat, otherwise known as the
I've done that.
Otherwise known as what? The festival yes. poo.
You put your feet on the actual toilet on the rim of the toilet.
On the seat? Yes.
No,
because
guys.
That is actually the healthiest position.
Oh. Yeah, but what about that apparatus that Ben introduced us to a while ago where you don't need to put your actual feet on the rim?
That's the squatty potty.
Yeah, there you go.
But it was sponsored by who is the main
it's
that, that ugly what's her name with the red hair, that comedian who's always getting
Kathy
into trouble. Kathy Griffin. She was like the spokesperson for squatty potty.
Oh my.
Yes, she was, seriously. Yeah, so I'm gonna put this on. Let me just
if you go to like a festival or a rock concert or something, and you don't want to get whatever's on that seat, you don't have a squatty potty.
Oh, we hover.
Yeah.
No, but
no, girls hover.
Yeah, but if it's a high bowl,
what?
You can't hover if your legs aren't exactly like right, Giselle's.
I've shared it now. It's on my Instagram. So go to GR Cliff on Instagram and you can go and see. Then tell me and be honest what your number is when you are taking a dump. Because I'll tell you why. No, no, no. This is important.
Why is it important?
Because obviously some of these are ridiculous.
Yeah, you do not straddle the toilet. Obviously. Some of those diagrams.
But there are some, and I don't know how to, like, it's the number six is the one you're discussing where you're sitting, you've got your feet on the toilet seat and you're squatting over the bowl. That is apparently the healthiest way for humans to take a dump because...
But don't you break the toilet seat like that?
No. Well, you shouldn't. I mean, what kind of... No.
It's like a weight.
No, I think it's... I've done that position.
Guys, you can... I can't.
I've done that position. So number six is the one that is supposed to be the most healthy. Right? Go and have a look at this. It's up on Instagram now. Number eight is crazy. That's where you're sitting on top of the cistern, facing the wall. Gives you some serious, like, dropping distance.
Oh,
and then obviously number seven is not feasible because who has a freestanding toilet in the middle of a room?
Oh, my God.
Number seven, you've got your... Imagine you've got a toilet, right? You're sitting on the cistern. You've got your thighs on the top of the cistern with your legs over the back. Now, that's not possible because most people's toilets are attached to a wall at the back. There'd be no way to be able to do that position in a conventional toilet. Obviously, zero is ridiculous because that's just the head sticking out of the toilet.
Yeah, you're in the toilet.
Yeah.
Number nine is like you're in, but your ass is like basically being lapped by the water. Number five is the squatting, but it's sitting facing the back of the toilet. I don't know if you'd get enough angle on that.
We are such a well-rounded show.
We cover everything.
From
philosophy to how you dump.
Everything.
It's important, man. Tell you what, everybody's so busy trying to impress each other. These are the questions that keep people up at night. It doesn't keep you up?
I don't think I've ever lost sleep.
Well, it's just
over
me.
This.
It's just me then. Fine. then Blitzbocker, who they listen to us all the time. I don't know if it's just their social media manager or if it's the whole bunch of them, but that's always nice. It's nice to hear from them. Calm down, Gareth Cliff. Teachers have been on holiday for a month, and are only due back next month.
Oh, but I mean, they...
Well, next week, sorry.
...deserve that month, hey?
Yeah, a varsity lecturers only go back in February.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they do deserve it, because you're working with other people's shitty kids.
Ooh, tough job,
man. Or you could have pleasant kids, and you're just like...
You could, but it's
sliding
not...
Sliding through.
I don't think that happens.
Oh.
Morning, guys. I went to the same school as Tony. Who's Tony?
Tony
who
guest,
we had
perhaps?
On yesterday, the anorexic. Yeah, we were talking to Tony about her struggle with anorexia. I respect her honesty regarding eating disorders. On Netflix, there is a movie called To the Bone, which is really worth a watch to understand how eating disorders start and why they continue. That's interesting. Good morning, guys, except for Sia.
Oh, okay.
I hate Sia. I hope he gets bitten by 10,000 red ants on his ball sack. Last year, he mentioned how he enjoyed watching The Sinner, so I decided to give it a try last night. Biggest mistake ever. Oh, so this person only hates you because of this recommendation.
Sure.
It is now 8 hours later, and I have to fake being productive today because I binged all 8 episodes of The Sinner in one go. Oh. I love you guys, but I am angry with Sia. Keep it up from Cabello. Look at what you've done. You've ruined his life.
Listen, that is, it's a twisted series. Very twisted, draws you in.
Can you imagine watching all in one go?
No, it's quite slow
in the beginning. I mean, it really trots on towards the end, but that's dedication.
I would not recommend
that. Someone just reminded me what song it is that I was thinking of with Avicii. It's that, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Uh-huh.
So that.
Flow Rider.
The original was sung by, what's the woman's name? She's fantastic. She's like a famous 60s singer.
See, that's another thing, like covers as well, and how they're twisted and
they didn't,
manipulated.
They didn't re-record that, by the way. They used the original. So it was like Flo Rida does it, but the original recording is, what is it? Good Feeling. Who mm-hmm. the hell is that, man?
Etta James?
Etta James, thank you. Oh,
that was going to kill you.
I cannot tell a good story, huh? So Etta James sang the original. She's fantastic. Let me just see if I can find a recording of that, because that is special. She, of course, very well-known sort of soul, R&B, old-school singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she did, At last, my love has come around. Anyway, whatever it is.
She had original eyebrows on fleek, actually.
Yo! Tell you what. But here's, it's from, her song was called Something's Got a Hold on Me. So listen to this voice.
Sometimes
what a voice.
I get a good feeling, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No. Yeah.
So you see, I mean, there's some kind of genius involved here. Let's not go to the one extreme where we're purists and we go, well, the person who wrote that song for the first time is the only one who should ever sing it. Because they took that, and who would have known you could make this EDM, fantastic, powerful, popular, beautiful song out of this? Because that's like a totally different genre. That's genius. That requires some credit.
And I'm sure the original person's quite happy the fact that that's,
song
is then played across the world.
Every time that gets played, Etta gets some money.
If you are credited.
Yeah,
This is what Radiohead is fighting for.
Yes, it's right. Rebooted as long as you ask for permission nicely.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. But I mean, when like Lana Del Rey makes your song sound like a toilet and she doesn't want to credit you, then yeah, I would sue everything off her.
After Obama became president,
yes.
Remember Beyoncé took to stage and she did her rendition of At Last.
It was at their ball, wasn't it?
It was at their ball.
Yeah, and Obama and Michelle danced to it.
Mm. But she was heavily criticized for that rendition.
Well, because Etta James...
didn't like it.
Listen, Etta James is in a super universe of singers that Beyoncé's not in yet. She's not there yet.
Etta James.
Give her something to aspire to. She's no Etta James. Not yet.
Yeah, Etta James was in the news after that rendition saying that, well, she didn't.
I love how Etta James.
She didn't think much of it.
I love how Etta James, like, you want to know what I think? I think it's shit. And to have the nerve to, like, criticize this Beyonce, who millennials revere as some kind of goddess. Like, Etta James is like, listen to my fucking song. You want to hear a good version? Dummies.
She was senile. She was about to die.
Senile.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Are you insane?
She couldn't hear it properly.
All right, listen, we've been talking for a little while. We got to get on with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's get at this, please. What are the 5 things we need to know? Mubs, you want to start today?
Yes, I'm going to start today, Gareth. Everyone put your hands together and welcome a new player to cryptocurrency.
Who's that?
As Run did say that a lot more of these are going to be popping up all over the place.
Is Oprah's coin? Has Oprah got a coin?
Give her time, Ben. She might.
Yeah, she might.
When last were you ever talking about Kodak? Because Kodak coin is making an appearance in crypto land.
Is it a picture of a coin?
The century-old camera brand announced this week that they are investing in blockchain technology and they are going to be launching a photo-centric cryptocurrency.
Wow.
Their stock surged as much as 125% in trading immediately after that announcement.
Yo.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's touched Kodak stock for like 40 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is when last were we ever talking about Kodak? And now I guess they've found a way to make themselves just a little bit more relevant again. They're going to be joining the blockchain, and very soon, I guess, you'll be able to have your own Kodak coin.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah. So with the price of Bitcoin, Ripple, Ethereum, and all these other currencies that we've been talking about skyrocketing recently, an eclectic mix of small, unrelated businesses have attempted to ride their own wave of investor interest by teasing cryptocurrency pivots. So they're going to be a lot more of these companies, and this is exactly what Run had told us, that are going to be launching their own version of currencies.
Yeah.
But while we're on the cryptocurrency news, Warren Buffett gave an interview to CNBC recently where he said, no. He will never invest in cryptocurrencies.
Wow.
To quote him, he said, I can say almost with certainty that cryptocurrencies will come to a bad end.
And then he got on his horse and buggy. And he went back to the haberdashery.
Oh.
Now, his comments come a day after JP Morgan and Chase chief executive Jamie Dimon said that he regrets calling Bitcoin a fraud.
Uh-huh.
He was referring to comments he had made at a banking conference back in September. But Warren Buffett is staying firm by his opinion, saying, yeah, I will never be a part of that that vob. And he says that it's all going to come to a crashing end.
Well,
but Mr. Buffett, you know, maybe before it comes to a crashing end, some of us can make a little bit of change on the side.
I have a lot of respect for Warren Buffett. I think he's much, much smarter than many investors. He's always had a philosophy, as I understood it from reading his book years ago, that he only buys things that he uses. So if he doesn't understand your business, he doesn't buy shares. Even if it's surging or it's, you know, something he can short because he thinks it's going to come down. He doesn't get involved if he doesn't understand what you're buying, what you're selling, who is interested in what kind of a market it has. He does research around these things. Anthea loves him, well, I suppose. I mean, I can't speak for her, because they think more or less the same way about asset management. And he's made a ton of money. Isn't he like the second or third richest man in the world? Mm. For a while, he was number one. He's no idiot, this Warren Buffett. And he's... he's Schnorrer. Have you seen? He lives in the same house. This shitty little house in Omaha, Nebraska. Little face brick house. I mean, I've driven through townships in South Africa that have 100 better houses than Warren Buffett's house. And this guy's one of the richest men in the world. Buy a goddamn house.
Please.
Spend a little. You're almost dead. What have you got to show for all this except the big bank balance? Don't you think that's a bit sad? Like, he doesn't spend. He's driving the same car he drove in 1973.
It is curious, because it's, I think, weird, most right? of us, you know, once we have that kind of money, we'd love to flaunt it.
Mm.
It is curious that he doesn't feel the need to enjoy the comfort of his hard-earned work.
He has slipped down in the rankings. He's no longer in the top three or four. He's like number eight now.
Yeah, because he's so skeptical about all these new things like cryptocurrency. That's why he's falling
down. What do you want this electricity for? I still use gas.
Yeah, you know, some people are resistant to change. All right, other news. Let me throw some stuff into the ring here. You want a Meghan Markle story? I know Sia likes her.
Oh, yes.
She broke a royal rule already. Oh. Her first experience, her first proper public appearance as engaged to Prince Harry.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
What did she do?
Markle's ensemble was unconventional. You know, they've got rules for one of the soon-to-be members of the royal family, breaking from tradition in a big way.
Was it Camilla?
No. Listen to this.
And gave Camilla too many sugar cubes.
She came out in a coat with an hourglass silhouette and a coordinating scarf. I love this stuff. That's why I know this. Keeping her hair swept back in a simple, messy, low bun.
What a bitch.
Ooh.
It was the outfit she wore underneath, however, that had royal experts' eyebrows raised. Once the two of them, Prince Harry and her, had made their way inside a building, she removed her jacket to reveal a black Marks & Spencer autograph wool sweater with a round neck and bell sleeves. Is that a problem, Sia? And the color was noteworthy. Why?
Why?
It was black.
So?
And the royal family never wear black except for somber occasions. So everybody was horrified.
Markle with the sparkle.
Can you believe it? Outrageous, right?
Oh, wow.
Have you seen this cow?
I'm waiting for this.
Have you seen this kind of cow that Tito Mboweni was tweeting about that Cyril bought?
Oh, a cow.
No.
It's these cows that you get with these enormous horns that it's called an Ankole. Ankole cattle. They come from Uganda. And they've got these big horns, and Cyril bought a whole herd of them.
For what?
Of course. Because why not? He's got so much land. Cyril needs big animals for all his land.
Yeah, he's got to do something with the land, right?
Yeah. He's a businessman, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. So, I mean, that's if you want to go and check that out, just follow Tito Mboweni. He's been tweeting up a storm. He's like, oh, my president has great cattle. He's hero worshipping.
Okay. Oh, he's getting in there quickly. Hey, you gotta.
Big time.
Yeah.
Apparently, universities have agreed in SA to a more flexible approach to walk-ins. 26 member universities of the organization MUBS told us about this week, USAF, the Universities of South Africa, have agreed to a more flexible approach for academic applications in this year. They announced last week that universities would not be accepting any walk-ins, but they've changed their tune. They said on Wednesday, yesterday, following a meeting earlier this week, that they would be more accommodating of walk-in applications in light of the broadly positive feedback received about the orderly manner in which registrations were progressing. It was decided a more flexible approach would be adopted. Isn't that interesting? So there may just be some light at the end of the tunnel for students who are taking a chance and actually lining up outside the universities. All right, so we got time for the headlines. We'll get into some more news a little bit later on, but first let's turn our attention to Ben and some sport. The sport is brought to you this morning by Menland Jaguar. And there are two kinds of people you'll meet in traffic: those who envy the cars around them and those who don't. Menland Jaguar wants you to be the latter, and you can be in the Jaguar F-Type, the very definition of a sports car. It's so beautiful in a positively mesmerizing way. If you want to see yourself in that car, you can go along to menland.jaguar.co.za. Give them a call on Pretoria 369-2400 to arrange a test drive and tell them that you heard about it on cliffcentral.com. They'll be even nicer to you. Yeah, it's like when you go somewhere for the first time and you say, oh, my friend, our mutual friend, and someone who, you know, maybe has some cred.
You name drop in the right way.
And then you get extra special treatment. The concierge at the hotel says, oh, let me get my book of special tickets to special events for you. You're friends with them. Sure, no problem. So here we go, 012-369-2400, that's Pretoria, 369-2400 to arrange a test drive. Better yet, head down to the dealership, especially if you're in Pretoria, Menland Jaguar. They're on the corner of Gauteng and the N1 highway in Menland. All right, Ben, what do you got for us today? What are you thinking? What are you talking about? You got into some trouble yesterday, didn't you? You caused some, let's just say you caused consternation.
Not really, just a little bit of fun and games, and sometimes people take me seriously, and sometimes they don't.
Explain what happened.
Well, you know, SA versus India, it's a big deal in Test cricket because obviously the two best teams in the world by rankings. India, the reputation is that they kind of maybe influenced cricket a little bit too much, and they got too much power, and they seem to think that the sun shines out of their ass a lot. And for many reasons, Indians believe, well, that's just fair because they control the lion's share of the profits and the revenue, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But they also play so much cricket at home, and therefore their rankings are kind of lofty. They've never won in Australia. They don't really win here. So the moment they get into hard, bouncy pitches, they don't feel very comfortable. So I wrote a spoof piece after the loss, after their loss at Newlands, which was taken very, very seriously. I wrote a piece about the fact that the ICC have rated Newlands as a poor pitch. So when there's test matches that go very one-sided, you know, they actually rate the pitches nowadays.
Right.
And people were taking it seriously. Even journalists and players, they were all having a go.
I saw a bunch of older players who are now retired from the game taking you very seriously.
It's just funny, the outrage. And then Indian people get so angry on Twitter. They're the best troll. Mm-hmm. They're just the absolute best. So on cricket then, there's selection poses on both sides. So at Centurion, Saturday, second test starts. So the big poser for the Proteas is, are they going to play Keshav Maharaj or are they going to go for an extra batsman? It's pretty certain they're going to go for the four quick bowlers. So either Dwayne Ulufia or Lungi Ngidi will come in for Dale Steyn. Kakisa Rabada, the world's best bowler at the age of 22. He'll no doubt open the bowling, and Morne Morkel will probably be given first change. So Big Vern Philander will then also take the new ball. But what is the rationale behind dropping Keshav Maharaj? Well, he only bowled, I think, like 10 overs in Cape Town, and that was with one of the seamers actually sitting out injured. So the pitch will be very similar in that it'll be hard, fast, bouncy, all those kind of things that make the Indians really squirmish. So is it worth having him, or do you go for a specialist batsman? It's nice to always change things up and have variety in an attack, but if you know your four seamers are going to roll these guys, then maybe, you know, you want to get a guy like Themba Bavuma in just in case that there is some wobbles in the batting lineup. Because right now, Dean Elgar looks a bit uncertain. Hashim Amla is going one of his, like, going missing acts. So maybe it is worth bolstering the batting lineup. India, on the other hand, well, they just don't have section poses. They need to somehow get a top 5 or a top 6 or a top 7, whatever it is. So the problem is, though, they haven't really got a lot of depth. If they bring in Rahul or Rayani, then, well, you've got two guys who don't have a lot of form. That's why they're not in the starting lineup to start with. So if you're dropping, say, I don't know, Vijay or Sharma. Although Sharma doesn't seem to ever get dropped. I don't understand this. I don't know if he's friends with Sachin or he's Sachin's child or whatever it is. But he's not exactly a great cricketer. He's a decent
team. Don't we have one or two like that in our team?
No, our team's very good, Gareth.
We do in the rugby team.
Yeah, that's a different story. So I don't know what it is that Sharma's got over the selectors, but he's a decent T20 player in India. Test match cricket?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I'm not complaining. I mean, you can be in the middle order offering bugger all day. I really don't care. But it just seems strange that, I don't know, I'd rather give a guy like Rahane a chance. There's a bit of fight there. And he's done some stuff in Australia before, which shows a bit of character. So, I don't know. Will Ishant Sharma come back? Is Ravi Chandran Ashwin going to be the only spinner? Or will other guy? I don't know.
That one.
The other that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sia knows all the cricketers.
Mm-hmm.
I've drawn a blank. But let's
all right. I did that with Etta James earlier. It's a blank day for everybody.
But we're not really talking about spinners in this series. We're talking about hard, fast-paced, traditional test match bowling. And I know people from the subcontinent will go, well, spin's also a big role. You know what? You're right. But I don't actually agree with you. So let's move straight
You're
on.
Right, but I don't agree with you.
No.
You're making a lot of sense this morning.
No, but like, the thing is, Gareth, if you only know test cricket in India or the subcontinent, spin is the thing. Right. It really is. But remember that that's not where test cricket started. Test cricket started with traditional Commonwealth sort of countries from the beginning. Australia played against England.
Are you a bit of a purist?
No, it's the origins of where test cricket came from. Mm-hmm. Like the Bodyline series was well known before people were bowling googlies and Chinamans and off breaks and legs, but all that kind of stuff. So spin has been something that I believe is really, it's more of a modern kind of phenomena in that when it became such a thing like, okay, well, our pitches are going to be completely spin pitches.
Right.
It takes a lot of getting used to. I think in the purest sense, test cricket is about the new ball. That's why you get a beautiful new ball, because it's meant to swing and bounce and seam. You don't just get given some old rag that you now are going to spin out of a foothold.
Right.
But this is the great debate that's happening in test cricket right now. I know what I've said in the last 2 minutes will anger so many people. But this is test cricket. It is a fantastic platform for conversation. It is one of the greatest sports. It really, really is. But anyway, if I carry on, I could talk for 3 days about test cricket because it's that great. Let's talk about golf. And Charles Swatzel seems to be the favorite. No, he's not really, actually. I would say more Brandon Grace, the favorite of this week's SA Open, played at Glendower. Swatzel, though, at the age of 33, has never won the SA Open. He went full pro tiers 1 year. Last time he actually played, he had a 5-stroke lead going into the final round, and he just choked the crap out of it with a 74. So he's got much to prove this week. Many people believe it is now his time. Brandon Grace is SA's best golfer, so he'll be top of the charts there with the bookies. But then Dylan Fratelli, fantastic 2017. Dean Burmester, the same with him. And then Jordan Smith, he's the sort of fifth favorite because he played so well here last year, and he's been pretty handy on the European Tour ever since. So 12 o'clock today, you'll see Swatzel and Grace with Chris Wood, I think it is. That'll be the sort of the main three ball to go out. If you are in the area and the weather isn't so bad, go have a watch. All the big talents in SA golf is there, apart from Lou Oosthuizen. So it's going to be a great weekend of golf. More on that tomorrow. In football, Ben McCarthy has been fined R50,000 for calling a referee a cow. He was just back in October. Very upset how none of the calls went the way of his team, and Benny he literally called him a cow. And you can't do that. You just can't do that.
A cow? Is that an insulting thing? It sounds a bit low level, I mean.
Well, look, it's not as
I
nice.
I think of some other C words, it would probably be better.
He's not really calling him a nice guy. You know, I think a cow is a derogatory sense. Yeah?
Okay.
And Romelu Lukaku, we all know this guy's had some interesting stories around the fact that he was the big signing for Man United. He was so great, then he was so shit. He's got a massive cock. He was partying in America. I mean, there's been so many different stories around this guy. So now, this other dude from Everton, which is his past club, Farhad Mashiri, uh-huh. is claiming that voodoo influenced his call to leave the club. Now, Lukaku's obviously pissed off about this because he's a Catholic and he has no interest in voodoo. He's had no history with voodoo. So this shitstirrer, Mashiri, is saying that because Lukaku went on this pilgrimage to Africa, which all sounds a bit racist, if you ask me.
Oh.
He went on this pilgrimage to Africa, allegedly, and then he had this whole voodoo thing, which made him want to go to Chelsea rather than signing a deal with Everton, which is basically almost a certainty. So Lukaku's going, like, screw that. And he is obviously, you know, taking his pressing charges against this guy. It's defamation of character. Like, this guy attracts such weird attention. It's just absolutely bizarre. It really is. We all know that in the Varsity Cup, which is a really big deal in local South African rugby at the varsity level, of course, they had a big deal with Steinhoff that's been going for many, many years. Well, it's officially cutting ties now.
Well, so we all know Steinhoff have no money.
We all know Steinhoff, Marcus Juster, big, big controversy end of last year. And that's it. They will no longer be involved with Varsity Cup rugby. It's a bit of a shame because you always want to see money at this level to develop the talent that we have. But I guess when it's dodgy money, anyway, I'm sure Varsity Cup is strong enough that it'll carry on and it will still be a major thing for development of this great game that we love in South Africa. And finally, yeah, I think that's enough sport today. It is 28 days, 10 hours, 7 minutes until the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Oh. My brother said to me this week, last weekend, it's World Cup year. I see a football World Cup.
Why are you taking the steam out of the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics?
Because I don't care about that.
Look at you. That's like saying, hey, I got engaged. And you're like, oh, you know what else happened this weekend?
No. It's January. I'm looking at the year in advance. And
it's June, Gareth. We'll get to it. Can we not just honor Pyeongchang and the Winter Olympics?
Calm down, Ben. Gee, you get very fired up.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
Here's Sia.
Before that, quick crypto update.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that this morning. We're very inconsistent, huh?
You are very inconsistent.
Baby, telephone.
And tell me I'm...
I thought this was your new theme song. All right, let me give you the crypto stuff.
The crypto.
All right, I'm going to do it in dollars. I know Ben likes to do it in rands, but...
Conversion?
It's yeah, well...
Too much.
Bitcoin has dropped again, $13,196 at the moment. So Bitcoin... Dropping. For anybody who bought that after it hit its high at the beginning of December, you're going to be a little annoyed that it hasn't climbed since then to anything near the $19,000, even $20,000 it was trading at then. Ethereum at $1,182. It went up a little bit yesterday. Now it's come back down again. But it's still over 1,000. So if you're watching that, then you're probably happy about your Ethereum. And if you own a little bit of Ripple, oi. 1.6. That's $1.6.
You sold all of that, right?
Yeah. I got rid of mine when Run came in on Tuesday. All right, there we go. That's a look. Sia, over to you. Said by Sia, what do you got for us today?
So for this morning, I think if you ever needed anyone who has been through failure, it would be the founder of Alibaba, Jack Ma.
Mm-hmm.
This is an oldie but a goodie. Really, the amount of times he's failed over and over again, from being a little kid in primary school and not getting accepted and failing this test and not getting through in college and trying different businesses and applying for different jobs. My goodness, he's been through a lot, but it has definitely all paid out. We don't have to go through his successes of founding Alibaba back in 1998, and now 800 million people around the world use Alipay. He's definitely a success. So here's a clip of him discussing his failures, and more importantly than that, it's about getting up from that and still continuing on. So an oldie but a goodie for this morning on Said by Sia, the importance of getting up after you fail.
A lot of fail. I failed for funny things that I failed a key primary school test for 2 times, and I failed 3 times for the middle schools. You know, for 3 years I tried to fail in the universities. So I applied jobs for 30 times, got rejected.
Jeez.
I went for a police, they said, no, you're not good.
That's amazing. He applied for 30 different jobs and was rejected every time.
I really don't know how you keep on going.
I heard that Sheryl Sandberg, when she left the Treasury Department, you know who she is.
She's COO
of Facebook, yeah, and she worked at Google for a while too. She spent 5 months looking for a job in the early 2000s in Silicon Valley and didn't have any luck. 5 months. Do you know how nervous you get after 5 months of not finding something? So just hang in there.
Jeez.
You know, if you've just started the year and it feels to you like you're not making enough progress fast enough and other people are putting pressure on you because they're like, oh, I've just started the year and I've got this to do and that to do. Just chill, because when your time comes, your time comes. Who knew Sheryl Sandberg would end up being at Google and then later at Facebook? I mean, who wouldn't want to work for those two companies, right? Mm-hmm. In that position, in high positions. For 5 months, she was sitting on her hands nervously. She said she went to one interview, and the woman said, you're not for this job. So she said, well, why did you even ask for an interview with me? And this woman said, a friend said I should do it because we have a mutual friend. So she just got up and walked out. She was like, I can't do this. So it could happen for you like it did for Jack Ma.
Well, oh, yeah. Even the KFC, when KFC come to IC, 24 people went for the job. 23 people accepted. I was the only one guy.
Wow.
And we went for police. 5 people, 4 of them accepted. I was the only guy that I received it. So for me, being turned down, rejected. Oh, by the way, I told you that I applied for Harvard for 10 times rejected. I know if you reject, I just want to say that.
Yeah, sorry now. Hmm.
I think we have to get used to it. We're not that good.
I love this, but I hate that music in the background. What kind of idiot?
Doesn't need to evoke a certain emotion.
Some idiot in the studio thought, oh, what we need is inspirational music, because otherwise no one's going to listen to Jack Ma.
Today, we still have a lot of people reject us. I don't think in this world there are a lot of people be rejected more than 30 times. If we, you know, the only thing we never give up. The only thing, like, we're like a Forrest Gump. We keep on fighting. We keep on changing.
We're like
ourselves.
A Forrest Gump. We're like a Forrest Gump. If you were rejected 30 times, wouldn't you give up?
Absolutely.
I think just in my personal life and looking back, probably going for something for a second time is a stretch. How you keep on going?
Well, this is a guy who's now a dollar billionaire. He's got Alibaba, which is the only real competitor in the world to Amazon on that scale. What a genius.
800 million people use it.
Yeah.
He is now worth $20.4 billion.
Yeah. See?
He's the richest person in China. So if he can get through rejection, best believe we can as well.
Right.
Whether you were successful or not successful, I find that one per people, when they finish the job, if they make the mistake, if they fail, if they always complain to others, this guy will never come back. If the guy only check himself, yeah, something wrong with me here, something wrong with me there, this guy has a hope.
So he uses every rejection as a way to learn about how to improve. That's a very evolved human being.
Big of him.
Hey? Mm-hmm. That's a smart dude. I don't know that all of us have that in us. I think some of us just don't. I don't know if I do.
Mm.
Got to be honest.
If we can just get a fraction of that, perhaps.
Yeah. Nice one, Sia. Mm. All right. There's Said by Sia. At 7 o'clock, when we get cracking in the next half hour, we're going to be speaking to Deshni Subramani in the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's this morning. We're going to talk state capture, the commission that Jacob Zuma has established, Ramaphosa, and talks of a recall. And she says it's not a matter of if, but when Jacob Zuma goes. And the NEC seem to agree with her, certain sources in the NEC. So stick around for that. Plenty of good stuff to talk about. That's all coming up next on CliffCentral.com. I think you did a really good job on this song, Mavs. Very well done.
Thank you.
This
is CliffCentral.com.